The Torah and Living Blood Sacrifice. I am writing this article because I am so fed up with the endless stream of idiots who make YouTube videos and websites that expose Jewish ritual murder on the one hand, and with the other support Christianity, the Bible, the Nazarene, and blame all of this on Satan. Some of these authors are actually Jewish and know what they are doing in regards to trying to blame it all on Satan and the pagan Gentile gods, while others, mostly Christians, have shit for brains. Most of these idiots who have shit for brains, nearly always a Christian, are either too lazy, not motivated, or of course who lack the necessary intelligence to really read the Jewish Torah for what it is, the Old Testament. The entire Torah is chock full of Jewish God's instructions on how to properly perform living blood sacrifices, and for the Christian double-digit IQ idiots who try to make excuses in regards to the New Testament and Jesus. Jesus is a human blood child sacrifice. In addition to this profound stupidity, the level of Christian intelligence is so low it is unbelievable. It never seems to occur to these Bible-thumping morons that whine about Jewish ritual murder and quote from the Talmud that the Talmud is, in fact, a rabbinical commentary on the Torah. And what is the Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament of the Bible that these Christians with shit for brains promote. That's right, the Old Testament. The same old crap that their priests and preachers spout off in their Christian churches every Sunday. Like I already stated, the extent of the stupidity is beyond shocking. Also, these buzzard-brained Christians would be at a total loss to show exactly where in their Bible Satan ever even mentioned, let alone demanded, any sacrifices at all, let alone a living blood sacrifice. Yet they accuse him of this incessantly, as this creates a distraction. As I keep repeating, every ugly act and attribute that is of the Judeo-Christian God is blamed on Satan, yet few can see beyond this. Hardly anyone stops to think. Another thing I want to add here is how Christians and other related idiots twist everything. One glaring example is I came across was a statement regarding how the names of pagan gods, such as Baal, were used by Jews, such as Hasidim founder Baal Shem Tov. This title means master of the good name, for one. This has to do with occult powers. It has nothing to do with the pagan god Baal. In Hebrew, the word Baal means husband or owner, and is related to a verb meaning to take possession of, for a man, to consummate a marriage. The word Baal is also used in many Hebrew phrases denoting both concrete ownership as well as possession of different qualities in one's personality. Baal also, as I mentioned in the above, means master, so this word really has a very broad term. Given the extreme blasphemy and denigration against the pagan god Baal in the Goetia, the Lesser Key of Solomon, it is common sense that the Hebrews wouldn't be giving any sort of devotion to this pagan god, or any pagan gods for that matter. Any references that try to claim the Hebrews worshipped any pagan gods are to confuse the readers. With our own research, we have found that Baal is another name for the Philistine god Beelzebub. The endless Jewish blasphemy against Beelzebub should make a statement in itself regarding just how hated this pagan god is by the Jews. To quote directly below is from Bible Hub website, article on Baal. For with attributive Lord of the Covenant, Judges 8:33, Judges 9:4. Compare with Judges 9:46, Lord of the Flies, 2 Kings 1:2-3, 6 and 16, Philistine God Baal, Beelzebub, Matthew 12:24. Compare Baal. I would also like to comment on the extreme similarity between the name Moloch and the Hebrew word Melech, which means king. King is another real loose term. So, what does the Jewish Torah have to say regarding living blood sacrifice? For those of you who have any doubts, I strongly encourage you to do your own research, as there are numerous copies of the Jewish Torah here online. The story of the Jewish character Abraham about to sacrifice his son Isaac, as ordered by that alien god of theirs, is a blatant example that his mere willingness, without question as the story goes, indicates this was nothing out of the norm. Nor was this an unusual request. Given his unquestioning readiness, this reveals this act of human child sacrifice was commonplace. In addition to the above, here are some very interesting and very revealing quotes taken from the Jewish website, Come and Hear, an educational forum for the examination of religious truth and religious tolerance, Blood Ritual 3, Human Sacrifice, the Talmud, and the Moloch Problem. Lord God accepts human sacrifice. Quotes from the above linked website. Blood Ritual. Blood ritual is fundamental to Judaism. Some blood sanctifies, some blood defiles. Let's see what the Talmud doctrines are. Now, these are quotes from that Come and Hear website. It's another quote from the Come and Hear website. The Babylonian Talmud, however, still permits Jews to sacrifice children to Moloch under certain conditions. Lord God accepts human sacrifice. First, let's get perspective. Some mistakenly believe human sacrifice is forbidden in the Old Testament. Certainly, some of the prophets railed against it. But, in at least one book, Lord God accepts human sacrifice. And in another book, Lord God is appeased by human sacrifice. In the following account from the book of Judges, the Israelite warrior Jephthah is about to set off to make war on the Ammonites. In payment for his victory, Jephthah promises Lord God he will sacrifice the first whatsoever that comes from his house to greet him upon his return. Unless Jephthah keeps oxen, sheep, goats, or chickens in his living room, he must expect the promised victim will be a human being. Notice that Jephthah does not promise to sacrifice an ox, a goat, etc. 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, 31, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Judges 11:30-31, King James Version of the Bible. The first to pass through the doors of Jephthah's house upon his return is his only child, his beloved daughter. 34. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. 35. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes, and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Judges 11:34-35, King James Version. Let us reflect for a moment. We know Jephthah vowed to Lord God to sacrifice whatsoever first came out of the door of his house. We suspect Jephthah plans to sacrifice one of his servants, but when the whatsoever turned out to be Jephthah's daughter, Jephthah is surprised. Notice his daughter's reaction. 36. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, forasmuch as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. Judges 11:36, King James Version. She expresses no surprise that the Lord God would accept a human sacrifice, nor does she protest, nor does she say, Father, let's use some common sense. None but perfect animals are permitted to be ritually sacrificed in Judaism. Notice that Jephthah's daughter, too, is a perfect sacrifice. She is a virgin. Notice that Lord God does not stop this human sacrifice as he stopped the sacrifice of Abraham's son. The Old Testament does not specify how Jephthah sacrifices his daughter, but following the correct methods for animal sacrifice, He would slit her throat first and drain her blood into a temple service vessel, cut off her arms, legs, and head, cut the torso into sections, remove her entrails and wash them, pour, sprinkle, and smear her blood at prescribed points around the altar, and burn the flesh. Of course, a priest might do this for him. The Lord God is appeased by human sacrifice. As two separate offenses, proving that giving one's seed to Moloch is not idolatry. The difference is that if one sacrificed to Moloch or caused his son to pass through the fire to some other deity, he is not punished. Okay, this quote was from Rabbi Dr. Friedman. Following the Mishnah, Sanhedrin 64a and 64b contain a rousing debate between the sages concerning 1. The sacrifices under which worshipping an idol is idolatry. 2. Which idols may be worshipped without indulging in idolatry. 3. Which parts of child sacrifice in what combination are punishable. And 4. How children may be sacrificed without violating Leviticus. Of late, numerous attempts have been made to prove that in sacrificing their children to Moloch, the Israelites simply thought they were offering them in holocaust to Yahweh. In other words, the Moloch to whom child sacrifices were offered was Yahweh under another name. The article goes on and tries to claim otherwise, but any fool can readily see when reading the biblical book of Leviticus, for example, that the above statement speaks for itself. Here is more from the Come and Hear Jewish website. And the above, those were all quotes from the Come and Hear Jewish website. Okay, here's more quotes. It is indeed unfortunate that the Jewish religion has not repudiated the doctrine that children may be sacrificed to Moloch. That doctrine, along with prayers in the Jewish liturgy calling for the return of ritual blood sacrifice, see animal sacrifice in the Third Temple, surely adds credence to charges that Jews engage in the ritual blood sacrifice of children. Repudiating the Talmud doctrines that approve of ritually sacrificed children under certain conditions would go a long way to creating goodwill between Judaism and people of other religious faiths. The book of Leviticus is chock full of specific instructions, how to, and demands for living blood sacrifices. Below are direct quotes taken from the Jewish Torah. Given the extensive and horrendous treatment of innocent animals, it is no wonder that the Jews invented industrial farming. This sort of thing is in their nature. Leviticus 1:1. The Lord called to Moshe and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, Leviticus 1:2. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when any one of you offers an offering to the Lord, you shall offer your offering of the cattle from the herd and from the flock. Leviticus 1:3. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall take a male without blemish. He shall offer it at the door of the temple of the meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. Leviticus 1:5. He shall kill the bull before the Lord. Aaron's sons, the Kohanim priests, shall present the blood and sprinkle the blood around on the altar that is at the door of the tent of the meeting. And the Kohanim, that's where the name Cain and Cohen and all these derivatives come from, as Jew crap, Khan. They're all derivatives of the Kohanim, and these Kohanim, it's called the Cohen gene that these Jews have, that's different from us. It's from reptilian blood, and they have a totally different alien soul than we do. Leviticus 1:10. If his offering is from the flock, from the sheep, or from the goats, for a burnt offering, he shall offer a male without blemish. Leviticus 1:11. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. Aaron's sons, the Kohanim priests, shall sprinkle its blood around the altar. Leviticus 1:14. If his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall offer his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. Leviticus 1:15. The Kohen priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and his blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. Leviticus 1:16. And he shall take away its crop with its filth and cast it beside on the altar on the east part in the place of the ashes. Leviticus 1:17. He shall tear it by its wings, but shall not divide it apart. The Kohen, priest, shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor to the Lord. Leviticus 3:1. If his offering is a sacrifice of shalom offerings, if he offers it from the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Leviticus 3:2. He shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tent of the meeting, and Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, priests, shall sprinkle the blood on the altar round about. Leviticus 3:7. If he offers a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. Leviticus 3:8. And he shall lay his hands on the head of his offering and kill it before the tent of meeting, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle its blood on the altar round about. Leviticus 3:12. If his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. Leviticus 3:13. And he shall lay his hand on its head and kill it before the tent of the meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle its blood on the altar round about. Leviticus 4:4. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tent of the meeting before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull and kill the bull before the Lord. Leviticus 4:5. The anointed Kohen, priest, shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of the meeting. Leviticus 4:6. The Kohen, priest, shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Leviticus 4:7. The Kohen, priest, shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of the sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tent of meeting, and he shall pour out all the blood of the bull out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of the meeting. Leviticus 4:11. The bull's skin, all its flesh, with its head and with its legs, its innards and its dung. Leviticus 4:12. Even the whole bull shall carry forth outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned. Leviticus 4:16. The anointed Kohen priest shall bring of the blood of the bull to the tent of the meeting. Leviticus 4:17. And the Kohen shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, before the veil. Leviticus 4:18. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tent of the meeting, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering which is at the door of the tent of the meeting. Leviticus 4:24. He shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Leviticus 4:25. The Kohen, priest, shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. He shall pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. Leviticus 5:7. If he can't afford a lamb, then he shall bring his trespass offering, for that in which he has sinned, 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, to the Lord, one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. Leviticus 5:8. He shall bring them to the Kohen, priest, who shall first offer the one which is for the sin offering, and wring off his head from its neck, but shall not sever it completely. Leviticus 5:9. He shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. Leviticus 7:2. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, he shall kill the trespass offering, and its blood he shall sprinkle on the altar round about. Leviticus 8:18. He presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Leviticus 8:19. He killed it, and Moshe sprinkled the blood on the altar round about. Leviticus 8:22. He presented the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram. Leviticus 8:23. He killed it, and Moshe took some of his blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the great toe of his right foot. Leviticus 8:24. He brought Aaron's sons, and Moshe put some of the blood on the tip of their right ear, and on the thumb of the right hand, and on the great toe of the right foot, and Moshe sprinkled the blood on the altar round about. Leviticus 9:12. He killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons delivered the blood to him, and he sprinkled it on the altar round about. Leviticus 9:18. He also killed the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of shalom offerings, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons delivered to him the blood, which he sprinkled on the altar round about. Leviticus 16:14. He shall take some of the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Leviticus 16:15. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with his blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Leviticus 16:18. He shall go out into the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the bull's blood, and some of the goat's blood, and put it on the horns of the altar round about. Leviticus 16:19. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and make it holy from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. And this here again, okay, I know this gets long, but this is just a small section of that Bible. It's just nothing but blood. And notice here, Leviticus 17:11 in the Torah, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. And the whole thing is here, this is a tie-in, a subliminal tie-in again of how Jewish ritual murder, and how the Gentiles, we Gentiles are forever paying for their sins. They do that when they butcher Gentile children, Jewish ritual murder. It ties into these Bible verses that these stupid idiots in their churches, in the Old Testament and Christian churches, I mean, all this energy is poured into that, and it's this powerful subliminal. And through Jewish ritual murder and human sacrifice that is tied directly into this Bible, that's how they thrive and how they prosper and how the injustice keeps going unchecked. And Gentiles, I mean, how many Gentiles are living in abject poverty? Okay, I mean, in the worst conditions, and these Jews, they have unimaginable wealth. Of course, they're always touting maybe 5% of them that, you know, aren't living in the lap of luxury. But that's 5%. I mean, the other, like, 90%, it's just unreal, the wealth they have. I mean, they go into billions of dollars, some of them, like Rothschild. And they own everything. Okay, well, at any rate, I'm going to keep reading these Bible verses. We're getting down to the end here. But this, I mean, how lengthy this is. I mean, it should register. Okay, Leviticus 22:29. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that it you may be accepted. Leviticus 22:19. That you may be accepted, you shall offer a male without blemish of the bulls, of the sheep, or of the goats. Leviticus 22:20. But whatsoever has a blemish you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. Leviticus 22:21. Whoever offers a sacrifice of shalom offerings to the Lord to accomplish a vow, or for a freewill offering, of the herd or of the flock, it shall be perfect to be accepted, there shall be no blemish therein. Leviticus 22:22. Blind, injured, maimed, having a wart, festering, or having a running sore, you shall not offer these to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Leviticus 22:23. Either a bull or a lamb that has any deformity or lacking in its parts, that you may offer for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Leviticus 22:24. That which has its testicles bruised, crushed, broken, or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord. Neither shall you do this thus in your land. Leviticus 22:25. Neither from the hand of a foreigner shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them. There is a blemish in them. They shall not be accepted for you. Leviticus 22:26. The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, Leviticus 22:27. When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, then it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for the offering of an offering made by fire to the Lord. Leviticus 22:29. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. Leviticus 23:19. You shall offer one male goat for a sin offering, and two male lambs a year old for a sacrifice of shalom offerings. Numbers 7:41. And for the sacrifice of shalom offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs a year old, this was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Tsurishaddai. Deuteronomy 12:11. Then it shall happen that to the place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, and there shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow to the Lord. Okay, and there's numerous references here. Wikipedia, wiki article on Baal, BibleHub.com, Hebrew 11:67, BibleHub.com, Hebrew 44:28. Come and hear an educational forum for the examination of religious truth and religious tolerance, Blood Ritual 3, Human Sacrifice, the Talmud, and the Moloch Problem, Lord God Accepts Human Sacrifice. And the above scripture quotes were taken from an English translation of the Jewish Torah.